You can weigh in with your favorite juice as well. 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. Team Pulp has spoken as well. You always have Team Pulp.
What?
That wants pulp.
People like pulp?
Yeah.
People don't understand that.
I like it in pineapple juice. The pulp in pineapple juice is delicious.
I'm with you, Ryan. I just want a little bit. Not a lot, just a little bit of pulp.
I don't want to chew my juice.
Okay.
Pulp stuck in your teeth.
More pulp
for me. Is that pulp in your teeth?
I've never had that issue.
Well, you don't have teeth.
Or exhaustive cleaning of glasses, which apparently Vesco's
had. Terrible. It's just... You know, the worst is when you have juice, no matter what kind of juice, and your kids just leave the glass on the counter. When you get home at 2 o'clock, the glass is still there, and the juice is now frozen or stuck or coagulated or whatever term it is.
Leave coagulated.
And then you got to leave it soak in soapy water for 3 days, and that takes a glass out of commission.
Just use hot water and soap and see what happens.
That's what I said. You got to leave it soak, though, to get that.
You're soaking a glass for 3 days to get juice residue out of the
bottle? It's the proper way to do it. Look it up.
Feel like you get a Gio Red Solo there. Just cut it out. Cut out the problem.
See, this is what happens when you try to make one of these points, Bob. You turn into an infomercial person who's just like, "Have you ever tried to wash a glass?" Yeah, I have actually. Quite simple,
but not this easy.
Yeah. Have you ever tried to wash a glass? Red Solo Cup prevents you from going through the struggles of washing a glass that's right. Coated in pulp.
Just make
sure. Red Solo Cup you drink and throw away.
Just make sure you recycle it.
Glass shards stuck in his hands.
Yeah, you got some
soap all
black
over
and
him.
White screen. Oh!
Just make sure you recycle. That's all. Just get in recycling. Use the Red Solo.
You recycle Solo cups?
Sure.
Really?
I don't think you can.
They're plastic.
All right, can you?
Yeah, it's got the right number on the bottom.
I don't know.
Just
what the right
get that eco-friendly styrofoam.
There you go.
Yeah. No, that always works. Time to play a little NFL fact or fiction.
Coming in hot there on that one. It is NFL fact or fiction time, boys, and if I can get my computer to work, there we go. Rams haven't had a good go of it the last couple of games. They've lost two straight. The Saints now in the driver's seat in the NFC.
That game, the Rams-Chiefs game, took a lot out of both teams, I think.
It really did. Fact or fiction, the Saints are going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
It's easy to say fact right now, but... I mean, there's always somebody that surprises in the playoffs.
I like them playing at home the whole way.
I do too.
They're doming the whole way.
Yeah, if they're doming the whole way, then yeah, sure, fact.
What other NFC team do you feel really holds a candle to the Saints right now?
Well, I mean, they only won 12-9 over a Carolina team that's a team.
But they found out another way to win, Bob.
Okay.
That's, of course, the spin, yeah.
We're going to go with Chicago? I thought you'd go with the fighting Nagy's out there.
An ugly game.
I mean,
I still think the Rams-Saints would be a great game.
From an offensive standpoint, yes. I think I'd like to see the Bears play defense against the Saints.
Yeah, let's get a little Bears-Saints NFC championship. Yeah. That feels right. The Steelers win over the Patriots, keeps them a half game in front of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. The Steelers finish on the road in New Orleans next week. And then they have a home game against the Bengals. Ravens will be at the Chargers this week, then at home versus the Browns. So keep that in mind. Fact or fiction, the Ravens will win the AFC North.
I'm saying fiction. That loss to New England, or that New England loss to Pittsburgh, really hurt the Baltimore Ravens' chances of getting into the playoffs. So I'm going to say fiction. I think Pittsburgh hangs on by a thread and wins the North.
Yeah, I think fiction, too. Steelers are the hot team this week. You got to go with the Steelers to finish it off.
Yeah.
I think the
and look, you got to go out to L.A. on a short week, too. I mean, say what you want. That's a flight, man, on a short week.
Extra
you lose
time
a day
zone
of practice.
For them. Yep.
And Los Angeles hasn't played since Thursday. They've had 9 days to get ready.
Yeah, I think
this one's
really tough for them.
Do we get to trot out the Andy Reid record with extra time stat this week? Is that... I don't feel like we've done that in a while.
Coming off a bye versus 10 days, I don't know.
Is that still the same thing?
I don't know if that counts.
I mean, you're talking 2,329 miles to go from Baltimore to Los Angeles. That's a flight, bro. That's a long flight.
I know. That's snack and
lunch. That's a full movie.
That is.
Cool.
That's a full movie, snack and dinner.
Nice. They'll fly right over here, and I'll track them on my app.
Nerd.
You want to bet shots on it? Where's that plane coming from? I think that's going somewhere.
And that actually sounds somewhat fun.
Yes. Like I told you, my friend Kenneth lives in the flight pattern of O'Hare. You sit out in his backyard, you make bets.
Do you call him Kenny or Kenneth?
We call him actually Kenneth Mantell from Facebook.
So Bob will play that drinking game.
Kenneth Mantell.
The regular ones, though, Ryan, that are at a bar on a daily basis, Bob wants no part of.
No, because you got to stand up and do things.
But
this, you just look
Bob
up in the sky and go.
Planes for beers.
I mean,
anytime.
You see an Aer Lingus plane coming over, that's bonus money, man. You know that's coming from Dublin. I mean, you know that's a Dublin plane right there. You see Lufthansa?
Can you say Aer Lingus on the air?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
As long as you're cunning about it.
If you see a Lufthansa plane coming in, you know Frankfurt. You've won that. You see British Airways line, you know that's coming from Heathrow. I mean, there are a couple where you just know right away.
Heathrow.
What is the name of this app?
Flight Rad 24 or something
Flight
like that.
Flight Rad?
I think I'll look it up right now.
Bob, every time a plane goes over, Bob looks at the app.
Flight Radar 24. It's cool.
Oh. We'll get back to some playoff stuff here in a second.
Every once in a while, going over Kansas City, you get an LAX to, like, you know, Europe, Amsterdam flight.
Oh, those people are about to go have some fun.
That's right.
It's a couple shots there.
That's right. I think at least a month ago, there was a pretty strong argument for Drew Brees as the MVP, although I still thought it should be Mahomes. I was listening at least to that argument. I'm not really sure I am anymore. In this last three games, Drew Brees has thrown for 531 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions in 180 minutes of football. Mahomes now has 846 more passing yards and 14 more touchdowns than Drew Brees does at this point. I will acknowledge Brees has only thrown 5 picks. Mahomes has 11. Fact or fiction? Patrick Mahomes is the clear-cut MVP.
I'm going to say fiction only because you've got probably curmudgeonly, you know, sports writers who vote on this with mustard-stained shirts that look at it and go, a second-year player can't be MVP. So you're going to have people holding grudges, I think, in this one. But I think from a play standpoint, hell yes, he's the MVP.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's fiction, though, because it does come down to a vote.
Yeah.
And there will be some sentimental Drew Brees.
Sure.
Look what he's doing and led him to the best record in the NFL.
And there will be somebody who doesn't like ketchup that votes against Mahomes.
I think Brees makes it a race.
We didn't think about the anti-ketchup crowd voting. It's good. Got some extra pulp lovers on the text line, by the way, Bob.
I'm not a pulp fan. I'm sorry. It's fiction.
Pulp fiction? Is that where we're going?
You get an Air India plane landing, you know, either New Delhi or London.
Okay. Final one for you. The Texans hold the 2 seed right now.
How many people are asking what the name of the app is? Be honest on the text line.
Let me check real quick. None. Texans hold the 2 seed right now. What happened to the music? There it is. Texans hold the 2 seed right now. They are a game up on the New England Patriots.
You want that app, just contact Bob directly.
That's right.
I talked about the chapstick a couple of weeks ago. How many people sent me email? What's that chapstick called?
Several.
Yeah.
Many.
I don't want to escalate to many. It was several.
Many.
About 3. But that's a lot.
That's several, in my opinion. That's a few. A couple's 2, a few's 3, and then several's more.
Several's more, yeah.
Yeah. So there we go. Got it all ironed out. Texans have a 2 seed. Their game up on the Pats. Houston has Philly on the road. Then they're at home against the Jags. The Pats get the Bills and the Jets. That feels like 2 wins. Fact or fiction? The Pats won't get a home playoff game this season.
I'm going to say fiction. I think some way, somehow, they get the 2 seed, and some way, somehow, they host playoff. Even if they have a 3 seed, I think they get a playoff game at home. They will. Because they will host the 6th seed. So, yes, the Pats will have a home playoff game because they'll win the division. So, it's 100% fact.
It's true. Well, they get more than one home game. You're asking, really the question is, they will be a 3 seed. And I'm still not holding out that they're going to be the 3 seed. I think weird stuff could happen. Where they could jump up.
Anything can happen.
But I think at this point, they're going to get one home game.
It's an oblong ball, bounces in weird directions. Yeah.
Because the schedules are about even, right, between the two. But
I mean, I
Houston's
would argue that
game
I
lead.
Think there's likely a difficult game with Philly on the horizon.
Yeah, that's at Philly, right?
Yeah, it's at Philly.
Yeah, okay. That's a
but then
more
they get the Jags at home.
The Jags at home.
The Jags are already
totally cooked.
Yeah, they're done. They are done.
Yeah.
And the Bills and Jets.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule out the Pats somehow figuring out a way to get the two seed.
Yeah, they'll be in the
Texas has got to take care of business.
I do feel like the Jets would love nothing more than to play a little spoiler too. So.
Yeah, that only lasts for like a half when your car's backed, I think.
Who was I listening to the other day? Oh, Deion Sanders. He calls these last two games, especially the last game of the season, the U-Haul game, where there's 53 U-Hauls in the parking lot.
Don't disagree. That is another edition of NFL Fact or Fiction. Like it or not, here they come. You can bet on it. Find out who next.
Fesco in the morning.
Interesting list by the Sports Business Journal. It's annual list of most influential people in sports business for 2018. Okay? They put out these lists every year, right?
Yeah.
You know, the commissioners are always at the top, mm-hmm. right? Adam Silver, Roger Goodell.
Same group of people.
Jerry Jones, man. Robert Kraft. You know who the power brokers
right.
are.
Right. You know, just by sports, watching TV, right? you know who they are. Maybe every once in a while they throw in a TV exec you're not familiar with, and you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I think the head of Fox Sports is in there this year because of Thursday Night Football and signing a new deal with baseball and keeping the World Series going, but you don't really know who that is as a fan. But, you know, like, you know, Bob Kraft. And
LeBron's the most influential athlete.
Yep.
Am I the only one that gets a real Nosferatu vibe from Adam Silver?
A real what?
Nosferatu?
Yeah, definitely you do.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. That's why you're the only one that gets that.
You know, like the old Dracula? No? Okay, I'll just
continue. Nosferatu. Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know what.
I never heard
I don't
of
know.
That before.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Flight radar app, and you're talking about
Nosferatu?
It was
like the Hungarian version of the vampire, of Dracula. Just Google it. If only there was a website you could look things up on.
I don't know how to spell that.
Nosferatu.
Never heard of it. Honestly, never heard of it.
Honest to God, I've never heard of that ever in my life. What?
Was that Milton Berle's character?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Milton Berle kind of looks like Dracula. You know what they said about Milton Berle? That guy's got shoes the size of an NBA player.
Giant feet.
How am I the only one who's ever heard of this?
Okay. Nosferatu? Yes.
Nosferatu? I thought that was the guy who told the
Nosferatu?
Future.
Nosferatu? No, that's Nostradamus.
Well, Gus Frat?
Yeah.
Gus Frat.
You're wearing a tutu?
Bobby just told me earlier today you're more cultured than me.
Not with this. Nosferatu. I would guarantee there are many people, all over the United States and the world who go, what for up to?
So anyway.
913 says, I'm surrounded by uncultured swine. That's fair assessment.
Most influential in the world of sports.
There's Nosferatu on this
list. Nosferatu is not on this list, surprisingly enough. But number one this year is an upset.
Yeah.
American sports gambler.
Ooh.
It's not a specific person. It's just a group.
Yeah.
The sports gamer in America lists the number one most influential person in sports business for 2018.
I think that's the truth. I mean, look at how much sports business has changed since May when the rules came down and sports gambling became legalized in the United States of America. I mean, states are doing it, obviously. Leagues are cutting deals, business deals with casinos. Casinos are cutting business deals with the leagues. People are spending money to gamble. It's helping the coffers of a lot of states out because they do have the legalized sports gambling in their state. So, yeah, I obviously think when it comes to business this year, what has changed the most about sports business in 2018? It has been the legalization of gambling and figuring out how everybody can get their piece and how everybody can make money off of it. And you saw Jerry Jones himself cut a deal with that what is it, Tradewinds Casino or whatever it is right there on the Oklahoma-Texas border.
That giant one on the border.
Yeah, it's the world's largest casino. And Jerry Jones has already cut a deal with them. I mean, teams and leagues are making money off of this. Casinos are spending a ton of money to be partners with these leagues, to have, you know, the information that they need. So, yeah, I think more so than anything this year, from a business standpoint, the leagues and teams were changed by the legalization of sports gambling. Absolutely.
Beats out Adam Silver, number two. Roger Goodell, number three. And as mentioned, LeBron was the most influential athlete at number 15 on the list. Mm-hmm. But The American Sports Gambler.
Yeah, that's great.
Is the number one most influential in sports, and I can't really disagree.
Who would you put on that list for Kansas City if you come up with your top three most influential this year?
Right now, certainly number one is Mahomes.
Mahomes, I think.
Not even close.
Right.
All ages, all
sexes,
size, everybody. Shape.
Color, I mean, what Mahomes has done for ketchup and jorts this year has been phenomenal.
Phenomenal. So he's number one across the board.
Find a jersey or anything with Mahomes on him. You can buy plenty of stuff with other Chiefs on him. Try to find. Spans the age ranges.
Right.
All over the place. So Mahomes, number one, for sure.
Yeah, number one, I think, is by far. Number two, I put, and again, influential, and I put number two as Kareem Hunt because of how influential he's been over the last month of just the talk in this town about how it's not proper to kick a woman or hit a woman and how he's changed the shape of this team and, you know, everything around the Chiefs right now. Influential doesn't have to be good, right? I mean, Time picks their person of the year a lot of times, and they pick, like, Mussolini, and people go, how do you pick Mussolini? And they go, it's the person of the year. He had a big impact. I think Kareem Hunt has been very influential in Kansas City over the last month.
I had Andy as number two.
Oh, that's a good one.
His ability to help determine where this goes, where our mood is.
Mm-hmm.
How you feel, his ability to be second-guessed by everybody.
Sure.
He wields a lot of influence, and he'll ultimately, you know, take us to our end game.
Yeah, no doubt. Number three on my list, I think it's obvious here. It's Nosferatu.
Late riser in the poll, Nosferatu.
Some light movement from him.
Now, actually, I'm always going to make a list, and Dayton Moore is always going to be on this list for me because of the impact that he has both in the community and with the baseball team. He's so much more than just a general manager for the Kansas City Royals. He really is a person who does so much more from giving back with the See You in the Major Leagues Foundation and all the stuff that he does in the community. I think he has a great influence on a lot of people here in town.
I went more out front with the Royal and said Salvi.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that. Yeah.
Again, kind of the same characteristics as Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the face. He makes you smile.
Right.
He sets the mood a little bit and has a huge impact in that regard. And then production-wise as well, he can make an influence where this Royals team can go this upcoming season as well.
Sure.
So I'd Salvi.
Yeah, that's a good one.
In that list.
I mean, Kathy Nelson can always be on this list as well because she's very influential in bringing all of these major events here and her staff over at the Sports Commission as well. So 69306, influential in Kansas City sports over the last year. Who is it?
Another instance of, I'm glad we've got our guy. We'll explain next.
Fesco in the morning.
We will go through these periodically, and they've already happened like a few times this year, but we think we got our guy, right?
Well, I think so. Yeah. You're talking about quarterback?
Yeah, talking about quarterback.
I thought you were talking about Nosferatu.
Now, there have been instances where, people have dropped off, played a year and then dropped off. I don't see it. Maybe we're naive to that, whatever.
Who would you put in that category?
There's always that, like, flash in the pan. You'll never have as good as their first year.
No, Dan Marino was that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who he talking about?
Still went to a lot of meaningful games down in his years.
But Dan Marino's in the Hall of Fame,
Best, his best statistical season was his second season.
But he never
had
team
success. Can't hold a field goal, though.
Crazy.
Can't hold a field goal.
Never had team success.
Laces out.
That's right.
You're talking about Nostradamus, whoever the hell you were
talking
about?
Yeah, I mean, Nostradamus, that was last segment. No, Marino, he kissed a man.
Yeah.
And we forget about that, too.
So
we think we have our guy. But someone's going to make a major mistake next season. And it comes to the quarterback position. Much like the Vikings did this year with Kirk Cousins, right? That didn't work.
Nope.
Right? Paid a boatload of money. Got a guy.
Could have told you that, though. I mean, like that's the problem, though. These general managers get so, oh, my God, we got to have the quarterback. So let's spend $84 million on ass.
Or keep one that's marginal.
Lamar Odom did that.
Yes, he did.
Keep one that's marginal a long time.
Yeah.
That never going to win you anything, but puts up numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Like Matt Stafford?
Yeah, he's not a good quarterback.
That was mean.
That was a direct shot, mate. No, it wasn't a direct shot. It's a fact, right? You feel the same way about Matt Stafford,
I think most Lion fans are starting to feel that way about Matt.
He's really good, but never going to win anything.
These marginal, average Joe quarterbacks are absorbing so much money right now that it handcuffs the organizations from going out and getting better. Oh, you spent $84 million on Kirk Cousins. Oh, we have 52 other players to pay now.
I think it's a lot like my first, like, two cars, okay? My first car was a crappy Datsun pickup, right?
82 Buick Century.
Ah, lovely.
Josh, would you have a 62 Viper or something?
Yep. Mustang convertible, which I still had it.
My second car was a 1983 Buick Riviera.
You could have said Model T.
It was a boat. Yeah, you had to crank it to start it. Yeah, yeah. It was a boat, okay? It had leather seats. Most of them are ripped. It was a terrible car.
I had a 95 Nissan. No, I had an 88 Cutlass Supreme for mine.
I loved that car. Yeah. You want to know why? Because it wasn't that 76 Datsun.
Right.
I think a lot of people get to that point where we look at our quarterbacks, and you know, I don't want to besmirch the good name of Alex Smith, but Alex Smith came in and was very middle of the road. He took you to a lot of new heights that you'd never been to, but as far as his play goes in quarterbacking, he was very middle of the road. But he was a hell of a lot better than that 76 Datsun you had sitting in the driveway beforehand. So, hell yeah, I'm going to rock that 83 Rivy.
Yeah.
Nice. Some other team's going to make the same mistake this upcoming season. You can mark it down right now. Someone's going to pay Joe Flacco a lot of money.
Yes, they are.
Because he's better than their 76.
Because he's better than what they have.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean you're good. I mean, like to me.
So Joe Flacco,
I'd rather
he's done, according to reports in Baltimore, they're going to move on after the season. If from NFL.com, if Joe Flacco decides he wants to continue playing, he's actually going to be a fairly coveted free agent this offseason. Rarely do starting quarterbacks become available, and Joe Flacco absolutely is.
Right. And I think, though, from my money standpoint, I wouldn't pay any of these guys anymore. Like, I would go out and just draft a guy in the third round because essentially you're going to get the same kind of, you know, production out of a guy in the third round than you're going to get out of Joe Flacco or Kirk
draft
Cousins.
A guy in the first round.
Or draft a guy in the first round. That's fine. But I'm just using that as a bar. Like, you don't have – if you're going to pay Joe Flacco $85 million or Kirk Cousins $84 million or Matthew Stafford $100 million – and you're going to go 8-8, what are you really doing there? You're just spinning your wheels in mud right now. So just go out and just draft a quarterback.
And worse than that.
Yeah.
Because you're costing yourself in the future, too.
Yeah, they're going to continue to toss around this bad money because it is bad money. It's not just bad money from the standpoint that you're paying that guy. It's bad money because now you don't have enough money to pay other guys that maybe could help the other quarterback that maybe you don't spend on raise his game to a level that you're spending $84 million on.
Unless you know. I mean, the Vikings, I understand where they were. They felt like Case Keenum couldn't get him over the edge.
But Case Keenum is the same guy as Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins is better, but...
Is he?
Yes, he's better. But skill-wise and all those things, he's better than Case Keenum.
They're not a better team.
But you almost, like, you like panic.
Yeah, you do.
You like panic, like you got
to
do it.
Nothing causes people to panic more than a quarterback.
And someone's going to do it with Joe Flacco, too. He's going to go to a team that thinks they're close. They just need to get a push over the edge, and they're going to go to Joe Flacco and spend a lot of money, and no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Draft. And again, the Kansas City, you have to get out of the Kansas City mindset, too, that you draft a quarterback every 30 years or so. Mm-hmm. You can do it again.
You can. Any of these teams can do it again. So would you rather waste a first-round draft pick on a quarterback 1 year and then waste one another 3 years?
Yes.
Or be stuck with Joe Flacco at $85 million and not be able to do anything else for four years because you have no salary cap room?
Joe Flacco's getting replaced by a rookie. Okay. They went and drafted a guy and got a rookie and are replacing Joe Flacco. You can, too. You can avoid Joe Flacco by going and getting a rookie. And that's exactly what I'd do.
But somebody's going to pay
money.
Somebody
will pay him.
Hopefully it's Denver.
Someone will pay. Yeah, someone will pay him as a starting quarterback next season. Yes,
and I know we won a Super Bowl. I get that. I get all that. That's a long time ago now. That was 2012.
He got paid for that run.
Right.
Yeah, he played great during that.
He did.
During their Super Bowl.
He was
run.
Fantastic. But that's now 7 years going into next season that he hasn't really done much of anything. And people are going to lose their mind. They're going to pay big. Somebody's going to pay big Blake Bortles money too to go somewhere because Jacksonville's going to be done with him. Blake Bortles is going to get some kind of check.
I feel like he's going to get a job, not a check.
Okay, maybe.
I think Flacco's getting a check.
Flacco will get a check.
Yeah. But, I mean, not Cousins type check, but he'll get a check.
I just think there's no position in sports that
Washington say the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to have Alex Smith, they felt like, right? They had to do it. They spent too much for Alex Smith.
Probably.
Alex Smith got paid nicely because of here. They spent too much on him.
But he was having a nice season. They were probably going to win the division with Alex Smith. And then
they might have felt like it was worth it at the end of it. But they essentially, instead of drafting a guy too, because they felt like they got maybe burned by the two they did draft.
Because yeah. remember, they had RG3 Kirk
and Kirk Cousins. Yeah. Like, bang, bang.
Same draft?
Yeah,
wasn't
same
it?
Draft. Yeah. But they, I think they panicked.
Yeah, sure they did.
We're going to go get Alex Smith. Really? Okay.
But at least Alex Smith has a track record of winning, you know?
I would rather draft a guy.
I would too.
For sure.
I would too.
And then if I have to do it again in 3 years, so be it.
Because look at the teams that are on top and that are winning now in the NFL, okay? The Chiefs, the Texans, draft, quarterback right now, okay? You got Brady, obviously, and
Rams.
And the Rams drafted. I mean, Eagles
Saints, obviously,
drafted.
Are not. I mean, Saints got a vet.
But that's an outlier. That wasn't a free – was that a free agent or was that a trade? I can't even remember at this time. But anyway, there's outliers to everything, Josh. There is. But the teams that are on the come right now, the future of the NFL – are the Rams, are the Chiefs, are the Seahawks, are, you know, the Eagles with Carson Wentz, hopefully, if he ever gets healthy and fixes his back, all of these young quarterbacks that were drafted. You're not saying, well, that's a team that's going to do something special when they've got a Joe Flacco type as their quarterback. There's reason, again, why in free agency guys become free agents in the NFL, because there are teams that don't think they're any good. If you are a good enough player, you never reach free agency in the NFL.
You mentioned you hope the Broncos do it, and they could. They could. I don't know what they think of Joe Flacco. They could. Because the Broncos are open for anything. John Elway, this is a story of the Denver Post. This is incredible. John Elway actually was meeting secretly with Mike Shanahan about a return.
I like that.
They'd met a year ago to discuss a scenario where Shanahan would be coming to coach the Broncos, and then he was going to bring Kirk Cousins.
Right. That's exactly right.
And it was like going to happen, and it got nixed by the higher up, be above Elway.
But I didn't really know there was anybody above Elway.
The CEO, yes. Yeah. Apparently, according to the Post, the
somebody's
got to
fill the oat bag.
That's true.
his trainer, handler, whatever. Yeah. I guess they're trainers in horse racing, aren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah. The guy gallops along with them.
Yeah.
Whoever brushes his hair.
Anyway,
Elway brushes those big teeth.
Yeah. Horse dentist.
Has there ever been a player that is the mascot for their team as well? It's unbelievable.
He's the best. But he was looking at a Mike Shanahan instead of Vance Joseph. I don't know if that's good or bad.
No, from our standpoint, with Kansas City, it's a good move.
But I don't know. Shanahan a better coach than Vance Joseph? I know it's hard to put the band back together and do those kind of things before, but is any better than Vance Joseph?
I mean, I think Dick Vermeil ruined the whole thing by coming back and winning a world championship. Now you think you can just pull a coach out of retirement and bring him in, and he's going to win you a world championship.
Yeah, Gruden's well on his way.
Gruden is well on his way. I mean, like
we can all laugh at Gruden right now because this looks, I don't know, 3-4 years and we might be singing a different tune.
That's $40 million into it.
Yeah.
Well, they're a long way.
How's that going for you?
And they're going to probably need a new quarterback, too. But
and a wide receiver and that some pass rush.
Like, these guys get out of coaching, and Bill Parcells was never the same after he left the Giants. Never the same. I know he took the Pats to a Super Bowl, but that was it. He was never that good with the Jets. He was never that good with the Cowboys. These guys that leave and then come back, they're not all there. They're there for the check. They're not all in it.
Shanahan and Cousins or Joseph and Keenum?
Probably about the same.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I like where they're at now better.
Yeah, Shanahan hasn't coached in 7 years. I don't think that's the right decision. I mean, I'm not hiring a retread coach that's been out of the game for a while.
So Elway was going to hire the rat and rehire the rat.
Right.
And they were going to bring in Kirk Cousins.
Because
Kirk was apparently on board.
I mean,
when they didn't do the coaching thing, he didn't go.
Like, we sit there and talk about it from an outsider looking in, but I'm wondering, like, what people in Denver would think about this.
Oh, they love it. He's the glory days. They won Super Bowls with that guy. They think it would be fantastic.
I mean, I responded to you last night and told you, I was like, nostalgia makes us do some stupid things.
Really, it does.
It really does make us do some dumb things. And I think if you weren't in a better position right now with Andy Reid, like, if you were still in that Todd Haley mode, and you're like, hey, we're thinking about bringing back Dick Vermeil. He hasn't coached in a long time, but we're thinking about bringing him back. We're like, hell yeah, let's do that.
Well, yeah, because he's, I mean.
I mean, we want Derek Johnson back. I just saw several people on the text line today talking about it.
Yeah, no, nostalgia does make you do things, but usually when you bring those guys back when it comes to sports, it really never pans out. I'm trying to think of a good example of somebody we brought back and everybody was really excited about, and then he stunk.
Remember that time we tried to have George Brett be the hitting coach?
Yeah, right.
That was going to fix everything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think off the top of my head who he brought back, and everybody's really excited. Ah, it's good to be back. And then they never did anything.
Raul Ibanez.
Yeah, that's a good one. But he gave the speech.
Oh, that's right.
He did his job.
He did his job.
Told them they were good enough, smart enough, doggone it, people liked them.
He gave them a daily affirmation. Yes,
sorry. Sorry did not work.
It did not work out.
Accentuating a skill set or Andy getting a shot to be bad Andy? We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the morning.
Holiday Parkway.
That's exactly what this is, yeah. I think Gunther Cunningham is the guy, too, that you brought back as defensive coordinator, and it really didn't work, right?
Yeah, that's a good one. A lot of Sorias.
A lot of Soria, yeah.
Ones that didn't work out.
Right.
Someone says Ron Parker. Wow.
Ron Parker, yeah, that's, yeah.
I think you had to bring back Ron Parker.
You had
Ron
no
Parker.
Choice, yeah. though, with Ron Parker. Yeah.
He's been okay, just not... And the rub is he was really good with Barry. So coupled with Barry,
sure.
maybe
the two of them together.
Finally playing together,
right.
may indeed pay off. All right, the Chiefs are making do with the run game after Kareem Hunt was jettisoned. Now we're still kind of in flux. Spencer Ware, of course, got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of probably derailed some of the process. Dan Williams has been good for a couple weeks.
Damn, he's been good, yeah.
Everybody loves Darrell Williams.
Yeah.
Based on, I don't know what, various.
All of it. Yeah. Like people are like, well, this guy's fantastic.
I don't know anything about him. I mean,
he's Leonard Fournette's backup. Yeah. So.
Did you see what Andy Reid said? That was a smart move by Brett Veach to keep him on the roster.
That's great. I don't. You know,
like even when Brett tried
to tell me about 17 times that he was.
Everybody pretending they know something about him. I don't know anything about him at the NFL level because he's never played.
He's never played. But, I mean, like, Andy Reid even trying to give credit to Brett Veach, like, you don't even buy the credit that he's given to Brett Veach. Like, yesterday, he goes, I mean, Brett Veach did a really good job of keeping him on the
really,
roster.
The only good
Andy,
job.
Andy, do you want this guy or not?
The only good job he does is making sure there are enough of them.
Yeah, really, yeah. At the end of the day. But I think, you know, we give credit to the scouting staff and Brett Veach for a lot of these players. I think a lot of it goes to the coaches, too, for coaching a lot of these guys up because as good as they are finding some good players that fit Andy and what they do offensively, these coaches, I think, do a really nice job of getting these guys ready to play, man. I think they do a really nice job with that.
I think, Darrell Williams could be good. I don't know. No one can say they know. That's the thing.
It
bugs me when somebody's great and he's had like one carry in the NFL or whatever. Like, really?
I'll tell you what, this guy had a lot of promise coming out of LSU.
Hey, Ricky Stanzi's not walking through that door.
Right.
But the Chiefs have had a different look in the run game. They'll probably continue to have a different look in the run game. And Nate Burleson, NFL Network, says that could be a problem.
It's one of those things you don't want to mention, right, because of what happened with Kareem Hunt and the unfortunate situation that was. But are we seeing the impact of that superstar running back not being on the field? Because, of course, they got superstar players. But that guy was an anchor. He was a foundation. He was the pillar of this offense. Everything ran through him. Guys were open because of the strong running game. Could this be what we're going to see moving forward? Because if this is a way to beat the Chiefs, then the blueprint is out there. Mm. I'm sitting here sitting back saying, okay, they're 11-3, and they were hot at one point, but they look very beatable right now.
The Ravens, too, they didn't look good.
They look very beatable. So I'm looking at the Chiefs and hoping that they figure out a way to correct something because that loss to Kareem Hunt is showing up big right now, and I guarantee you this, come postseason, that will get exposed.
Ruh-roh. Danan Hughes, who joins us each and every Tuesday at 8:30, the former Chiefs wide receiver. We asked him about the running backs today.
Anytime the weather changes in December, you have to be able to run the football. I do agree with you to some extent, but I also want to give credit to the Chargers and the defense. I mean, let's face it, the defenses that they've played since Kareem Hunt has not been in this part of this team have been very good defenses between the Ravens and the Chargers. So that's an aspect of the game that I believe that Andy has probably looked at and said, you know what, our running game may not be up to par to soak up the time that is needed or to get the big runs that are needed against those two specific defenses. But now as we go down to the wire and we got this game coming up next week in Seattle, a very solid defense as well, it's just the luck of the draw that three of our last four games, all three at home, three of them are against very good defensive teams. And now with that question mark at the running back position, it's natural that you'd say, you know what, I don't have the league-leading rusher in the backfield from 2017, so I might put the onus on the shoulders of Patrick Mahomes a little bit more than just running the ball with Damian Williams. I expect them to get back to the running game, but it has to take a little while to get that confidence. It's easier said to say next man up, but it takes a little while to get the confidence in a running back that is basically brand new to the NFL and brand new to this offense. So I don't expect it to go any longer than this week coming up, especially when you have the extended break where these guys will assess what they did right and wrong against the Ravens and the Chargers and try to load up for a strong finish.
That's Dayton Hughes. I hope he's right. I hope it lasts no longer. I think you need to, even if you don't think it's Kareem Hunt-like, you got to make it Kareem Hunt-light.
Yeah, you do. And I think the onus is now on Andy Reid too, Josh, because we know sometimes January makes him do crazy things, right? And I think right now you cannot abandon the running game because Kareem Hunt is no longer part of this team. I think you have to go out there and continue to run the football in order to keep the defense honest. Kareem Hunt was getting about 17 carries himself. That's not total running backs. He was getting about 17 carries himself. That's carries, not touches, carries.
Carries, okay.
Himself before he had the video surface of him kicking that poor girl. Since then, in the Oakland game, the running backs to combined had 19 carries. Baltimore, they had 23 carries. But against the Chargers, the running backs alone had just 12 carries. And to me, that's not good. That's Andy Reid getting away from the running game. Doesn't have early success, so you abandon the running game. And I don't think that's something that you can do in January, in December, in February when you're trying to win a Super Bowl. You have to stick to that running game. You can't become a one-dimensional offense. If you do, you're going to put 8 back. You're going to drop 9. Hell, why not drop 9 back and try to stop what Mahomes is going to do? There's no reason to worry about the run if Andy Reid's going to take that off the plate of his offense. And I think right now Andy Reid has to take a deep breath and realize, I still got to run the football. They're averaging 1.1 yards less per carry over the last two games than Kareem Hunt was averaging for this team. I understand the numbers are down, but you still have to stick to it. You still have to keep the defense honest. You can't just go, you know what, to the wall and decide that we're just going to throw the football all afternoon. That's not going to win you football games. It's just not.
I think there could be an argument to be made that you faced better defenses over this stretch with the exception of the Raiders.
Yeah, you have.
And also, you can see that he's trying to get the ball to his running back in different ways.
In screen game.
Kareem Hunt averaged about 4.5 targets per game. Over the last three games, the first game that Kareem Hunt missed, the running backs had 3 targets out of the backfield. Other than that, in these last two, 8 targets and 11 targets out of the backfield. So he's trying to get the ball to him in space. They're not as good between the tackles as Kareem Hunt was. But I agree. Like, you have to be able to run the football this time of year if you want to control the clock.
The screen game is one thing. I get all that. And they always say, that's an extension of the run game. But you still have to run the football. You still have to be able to move the ball on the ground or at least attempt to run it on the ground. It's all about keeping the other team honest, too.
Leroy Butler, he had some things to say. You remember about that Aaron Rodgers cat in Green Bay.
That quarterback guy?
Yeah. He was talking about the quarterback in Green Bay. He used to work with Vern, you remember.
Yeah.
He'll join Show and Vern coming up at 12:15. Show and Vern, come your way next. You're on 610 Sports Radio.